Praise be Jesus Christ, and blessed be the Virgin Mary, our Mother. Amen. The first two parts of The Secret are written by Lucia in the third memory of August 31, 1941, destined for the Bishop of Luria Fatima. Lucia says, "The first part, referring to The Secret, was the sight of hell. Our Lady told us with goodness and sadness, 'You saw hell where the souls of poor sinners go. To save them, God wants to establish in the world the devotion to my Immaculate Heart. If they do what I tell you, many souls will be saved and there will be peace. The war is going to end. But if they do not stop offending God, another worse one will begin in the reign of Pius XI. Our Mother, the Virgin Mary, was referring to the Second World War when she said, "Another worse one will begin." To prevent this, I will come to ask for the consecration of Russia to my Immaculate Heart and the reparative communion of the first Saturdays. If they heed my requests, Russia will be converted and there will be peace. If not, Russia will spread her errors throughout the world, promoting wars and persecutions against the Church. The good will be martyred. The Holy Father will have much to suffer. Various nations will be annihilated. At last, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. The Holy Father will consecrate Russia to me. It will be converted, and a time of peace will be granted to the world." The second part refers to the devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The third part of The Secret was written by Lucia on January 3, 1944, by order of the Bishop of Luria and the Virgin Mary. The sealed envelope was first kept by the Bishop of Luria on April 4, 1957, to better protect The Secret, and without having read it, the bishop handed it over to the secret archive of the Holy Office, and Sister Lucia was informed about this. Pope St. John XXIII read it on August 17, 1959. Pope St. Paul VI read it on March 27, 1965. Pope St. John Paul II read it within days of starting his pontificate. Pope St. John Paul II asked to read it after the attack when an attempt was made on his life on May 13, 1981. And immediately thought about the consecration of the world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The third part of The Secret, like the other two, was revealed on July 13, 1917. Lucia, in the envelope, placed a phrase, indicating that it should be opened after 1960. In her letter, Lucia says, "We have seen on the left side of Our Lady, a little higher, an angel with a sword of fire in his left hand. Twinkling, it emitted flames that seemed to set the world on fire, but were extinguished upon contact with the splendor that Our Lady radiated with her right hand, directed towards him. The angel, pointing to the earth with his right hand, said in a loud voice, 'Penance, penance, penance.' And we saw in an immense light, which is God, how people look when they pass in front of a mirror, a bishop dressed in white. We had the presentiment that he was the Holy Father, the Pope. We also saw other bishops, priests, men, and religious women climbing a steep mountain, at the top of which was a large cross made of rough timbers, as if they were cork oak with its bark. The Holy Father, before reaching it, crossed a great city, half in ruins, half trembling and with a hesitant step, with pain and grief, praying for the souls of the corpses that he encountered along the way. He reached the top of the mountain, and prostrate on his knees at the foot of the great cross, he was killed by a group of soldiers who shot him with several shots from guns and arrows. In the same way, all the bishops, priests, men, and religious women, and various lay people, men and women of various classes and positions, died one after another. Under the arms of the cross, there were two angels, each one with a glass jug in his hand, in which they collected the blood of the martyrs and watered with it the souls that were approaching God." Let us see what Lucia says about this in a letter addressed to the Holy Father on May 12, 1982. The third part of The Secret refers to the words of Our Lady, "If they do not listen to my requests, Russia will spread its errors to the world, promoting wars and persecutions against the Church. The good will be martyred. The Holy Father will have much to suffer. Various nations will be annihilated." This letter refers to the Virgin Mary's apparition on July 13, 1917. The third part of The Secret of Fatima is a symbolic revelation that refers to this part of the message, conditioned on the fact of our accepting or not what the message itself asks. "If they heed my requests, Russia will be converted and there will be peace. If not, she will spread her mistakes throughout the world. From the moment that we have not taken into account this call of the message, we verify that it has been fulfilled. Russia has invaded the world with her mistakes. And although we have not yet verified the complete consummation of the end of this prophecy, we see that we are slowly moving towards it with great strides. If we do not renounce the path of sin, hatred, revenge, injustice, immorality, and violence. And let's not say that in this way it is God who punishes us. On the contrary, it is the men who, by themselves, prepare the punishment. God warns us with haste and calls us to the right path, respecting the freedom, referring to our free will, that He has given us. For that, men are responsible. In the conversation that Lucia had with Bishop Tarcisio Bertone, Secretary of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, on April 27, 2000, at Carmel in Coimbra, where she lives, she expressed the conviction that the vision of Fatima refers, above all, to the struggle of atheist communism against the Church and Christians, describing the immense suffering of the victims of the faith in the 20th century. When asked who the bishop dressed in white was, she replied that the three little shepherds believed that he was the Pope. We did not know the name of the Pope. The lady did not tell us the name of the Pope. We didn't know if he was Benedict XV, or Pius XII, or Paul VI, or John Paul II. But he was the Pope who suffered and made us suffer too. When asked why she put in the envelope that it should be read after 1960, she replied that, "I have put the date, not the lady, because according to my intuition, before 1960, it would not have been understood. Now it can be understood better. I have written what I have seen. The interpretation does not correspond to me, but to the Pope." In the theological commentary of Cardinal Ratzinger's, referring to Pope Benedict XVI, regarding the secret, he says, "No great mystery is revealed here. The veil of the future has not been drawn. We see the Church of the Martyrs from the century just past, represented by a scene described in symbolic language. The message of Fatima is a private revelation. Its function is not to complete the definitive revelation of Christ, but to help to live it more fully at a certain time in history. Private revelation is an aid to faith. It can be a valid aid to better understand and live the gospel in the present moment. Therefore, it should not be ruled out. It is a help that is offered, but it is not mandatory to use it." The three shepherd children of Fatima experienced for an instant the terrible vision of hell. They saw the fall of the souls of poor sinners, and they are told why they went through that moment, to save them, to show a way of salvation. Thus comes to mind the phrase from the first letter of St. Peter, "And you are sure of the goal of your faith, that is, the salvation of your souls." For this purpose, devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary is indicated as a path. The Immaculate Heart is, according to Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, a heart that, starting from God, has reached a perfect unity and therefore sees God. Devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary is thus an approach to this attitude of the heart, in which the fiat, "Your will be done," becomes the animated center of all existence. If anyone opposed this, saying that we should not interpose a human being between us and Christ, they should be reminded that St. Paul has no qualms about saying to his communities, "Imitate me." From whom can we learn better at any time if not from the Mother of the Lord? The key word of the first and second part of The Secret of Fatima we have discovered is saving souls, just as the key word of the third part of The Secret of Fatima is the triple cry, penance, penance, penance. Understanding the signs of the times means understanding the urgency of penance, conversion, and faith. This is the appropriate response to the historical moment, which is characterized by great dangers and which will be described in subsequent images. Let us now examine each image more closely. The angel with the fiery sword to the right of the Mother of God recalls similar images in the Apocalypse or Book of Revelation. He represents the threat of judgment that befalls the world. The prospect that the world could be burned to ashes in a sea of flames today is not considered absolutely pure fantasy. Man himself has prepared with his inventions and bad use of technology the sword of fire. The vision then shows the force that opposes the power of destruction, which is the splendor of the Mother of God, and always coming from God, the call to penance. In this way, the importance of human freedom is underlined. The future is not fixed in an immutable way. The image that the children saw is not an anticipated film of the future, of which nothing could be changed. All visions really take place only to draw attention about freedom and to direct it in a positive direction. The sense of a vision is not to show a film about the future that has already been irretrievably fixed. Its meaning is exactly the opposite, that of mobilizing the forces of change towards the good. The scene of the action is described with three symbols: a steep mountain, a large city half in ruins, and finally, a large cross made of rustic logs. Mountain and city symbolize the place of human history. History as a costly climb to the top. History as a place of human creativity and coexistence, but at the same time as a place of destruction, in which man destroys the work of his own work. The city can be the place of communion and progress, but also the place of danger and the most extreme threat. On the mountain is the cross, the goal and orientation point of history. On the cross, destruction becomes salvation. It rises as a sign of the misery of history and as a promise for it. Human persons later appear here. The bishop dressed in white, other bishops, priests, men and religious women, and finally, men and women of all classes and social strata. The Pope seems to precede the others, trembling and suffering from all the horrors that surround him. Not only are the houses of the city half in ruins, but his path passes through the bodies of the dead. The path of the church is thus described as a station of the cross, as a path in a time of violence, destruction, and persecution. The history of a whole century can be seen represented in this image. In the vision, we can recognize the last century as a century of martyrs, as a century of suffering and persecutions against the church, as the century of world wars and of many local wars that have filled its entire second half and have made it experiment with new forms of cruelty. In the mirror of this vision, we see the witnesses of the faith of decades pass by. In the stations of the cross of this century, the figure of the Pope has a special role. In their tiring climb to the mountain, we can find surely indicated together various popes, who beginning with Pope St. Pius X to the current Pope, have shared the sufferings of this century and have made an effort to advance on the path that leads to the cross. In the vision also, the Pope is killed on the way of the martyrs. Couldn't the Holy Father, Pope St. John Paul II, after the attack or an attempt was made on his life on May 13, 1981, in the text of the third part of The Secret of Fatima, recognize in it his own destiny? He had been very close to the gates of death, and he himself explained that he had been saved with the following words: "It was a maternal hand that guided the trajectory of the bullet, and the dying Pope stood on the threshold of death, May 13, 1994. That a maternal hand has deflected the deadly bullet shows once again that there is no immutable destiny, that faith and prayer are powerful, that they can influence history, and that in the end, prayer is stronger than bullets. Faith is more powerful than divisions." The conclusion of The Secret of Fatima is a consoling vision, which wants to make malleable by the saving power of God a story of blood and tears. The angels collect under the arms of the cross the blood of the martyrs, and water with it the souls that draw near to God. The blood of Christ and the blood of the martyrs are here considered together. The blood of the martyrs flows from the arms of the cross. Their martyrdom is carried out in solidarity with the passion of Christ and becomes one in it. The martyrs complete in favor to the body of Christ what is still lacking in their sufferings. Their lives have become the Eucharist, inserted in the mystery of the grain of wheat that dies and becomes fruitful. The blood of martyrs is the seed of Christians. Just as from the death of Christ, from his open side, the church was born, so the death of witnesses is fruitful for the future life of the church. The vision of the third part of The Secret of Fatima, so distressing in its beginning, thus ends with an image of hope. No suffering is in vain, and precisely a suffering church, a church of martyrs, becomes a guiding sign for man's search for God. In the loving hands of God, from the suffering of the witnesses, a power of purification and renewal is derived, because it is an actualization of the suffering of Christ himself and transmits in the present his saving efficacy. We have thus come to a final question. What does The Secret of Fatima mean as a whole in its three parts? What does our Mother the Virgin Mary say to us? Anyone who had expected impressive apocalyptic revelations about the end of the world or the future course of history must be disappointed. Fatima does not offer us this type of satisfaction of our curiosity, in the same way that the Christian faith does not want to be and cannot be merely food for our curiosity. What validly remains is the exhortation to prayer as a way for the salvation of souls, and in the same sense, the call to penance and conversion. I would like in the end to return to yet another key sentence of the Secret of Fatima, which has rightly become famous: "My immaculate heart will triumph." What does this mean? That the heart open to God, purified by the contemplation of God, is stronger than guns and any type of weapon. The fiat of Mary, the word of her heart, has changed the history of the world because she has introduced the Savior into the world. Because thanks to this yes, God was able to become a man in our world and thus remains now and forever. The evil one has power in this world. We see and experience it continually. He has power because our freedom, through our free will, is continually allowed to distance itself from God. But since God himself has directed man's freedom towards good, towards God, freedom towards evil no longer has the last word. From that moment on, the words of Jesus take on all their value. You will suffer tribulations in the world, but have confidence. I have overcome the world. The message of Fatima invites us to trust this promise. The message of Fatima proposes some simple means: devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, consecration to her Immaculate Heart, the reparative communion of the first five Saturdays, and the daily prayer of the Rosary. All this has as its goal the salvation of souls. The vision of hell, as well as the other visions of the third part of the secret or other Marian apparitions, always have eternal salvation as their goal. God allows Mary, as a good mother, to take care of her children and to step out to warn them of the dangers. In addition, she encourages the persecuted and the martyrs because their blood will be fruitful, and thus they will be able to save many souls. And you, how do you respond in your personal life to the loving calls of God through Mary? Are you on the path to God and salvation? Don't worry too much about the future of the world or your own future. Trust in God. Put yourself confidently in the hands of your Father and let Him guide your life. The providence of God always dawns before the sun. God is the Lord of human history and of your own history. Rest calmly in His arms and let yourself be guided. You are His child and He loves you. Mary is your mother and an angel of God always accompanies you. Do not worry. God is greater than all your sins and He is always ready to forgive you. Praise be Jesus Christ, and blessed be the Virgin Mary, our Mother. Amen.